Good morning. Welcome to our show. I'm Jim DeBetta here with my co-host Ron Reardon, and we have a very special guest today, Jackie Raimondi of Binky Bear. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited. Our first show here, talking about innovation, inventions, business, everything surrounding getting your product developed and sold and licensed and whatever it takes to make money for people. So very excited, and certainly excited to have a very special guest here today. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, she's raring to go in from Texas. So, you know, we're very excited to have her here. Ron, look, I mean, you and I have been working together for quite some time, and we both know how important it is to not only go through a process with somebody to help them become successful, but more importantly, it's really about the journey, about all the fun and all the heartache and all the nervousness that an inventor or an entrepreneur goes through to be successful. And that's why I'm so happy to have Jackie here, because she's the real deal. She's a person who had a great idea, and here she is a couple of years later, about to hopefully live the dream of becoming very successful with a product. So, Jackie, we're going to get you going right here. Tell us about Binky Bear, and of course, you and I met, it has to be how long ago?
About 2 years.
2 years ago. So, maybe you want to tell everybody about how we got introduced, and really more importantly, what was in your mind when you wanted to get Binky Bear going, and what was the real impetus for the product?
Well, Binky Bear is an infant-safe teddy bear. It loops a pacifier, so the pacifier is attached to the bear for a baby, and it's also removable and washable. And I wish I could take credit, but it was really my son. He required the innovation. He threw the bear one way and a pacifier the other, and it took a mom's mind to figure out, how am I going to stop this? So I started by just making it on my own for my own purposes, and enough people stopped me on the street to say, where did you buy it? And that's where it all began, is one day I said, I sell them.
You know, it's funny, when with my kids, we actually never really used pacifiers, and it was because of that reason, because we would use them once or twice. They would spit them out, throw them on the ground. I mean, in the worst places where you're just not picking it up and putting it back in their mouth. So we just said, you know what? We're going to have to just live without these things. But I wish we had them, because just for a lot of different reasons, trying to get your kids to sleep, getting them to take a nap, sometimes just getting them to calm down was such a chore. And without the pacifier that I think everybody or every mom and dad uses at one point or another, it was so important. So, you know, where was Binky Bear when, you know, I started having babies? I guess that's the...
Do you know how many times I hear that a day?
Yeah.
Do you know? The pacifier is an essential tool. The Binky Bear, the bear itself, is an essential tool. We use it for a transitional object. That's what they call it when a baby uses something for comfort. It's how they learn to self-soothe. Instead of having to stay in mom and dad's arm all the time, they need tools to help them learn how to do what we do as adults. And so this provides a tool, not only just out and about and throwing it, but say in the crib in the middle of the night. Finding a pacifier in the crib at 3 a.m. in the dark is not fun, especially when you're a tired parent. So this helps the baby to be able to find it on their own, replace it in their mouth, and mom and dad and baby get to sleep through the night. Yay!
Well, you've invented in a very great area, because anything for babies or pets, you know, that's just a huge, huge market. And, you know, I think babies are going to be continued to be born, you know, as far as we can see.
Let's hope so.
You know, Ron, it's when I had my first son, because we didn't use the pacifiers on a regular basis, we used to give him these little, I forget the name of those little arrowroot biscuits, those little cookies that you give him. And we would give him a little biscuit before he went to bed each night, and we kind of rock him to sleep. And then one night, and I don't know how this happened, just one of those stories where we always laugh and remember it. He got up in the middle of the night, it must have been 2 or 3 in the morning, and he's crying, and I pick him up, and, you know, I'm feeling around in his crib, and I'm going, where's that cookie? But, you know, I reach in the corner of his crib and I grab this kind of, like, it was like a hard rock kind of something. I'm like, what in the world is this? And it was like a chicken nugget. And this thing, it was like petrified. It must have been there for like a month. And I'm going, to this day, we're like, how in the world did a chicken nugget, you know, for a baby wind up in the crib? The cookie was gone and it wasn't on the baby. So it's just like one of those things, we're going, God, you know, this is gross. I mean, you know, why don't we have a pacifier? But I think we always were so afraid that once the baby got hooked on a pacifier, would the pacifier be a nuisance to get rid of? And I know, Jackie, I know you've addressed that issue. And to me, and probably a lot of moms and dads, that is a big concern, like anything, like the security blanket. How do you get them off of it?
It is. It's a very big concern. Weaning is such a process. If you've been through it, you know. But we did have great success with the Binky Bear, only because we were able to wean the pacifier but not take away his transitional object, his Binky, for real. He gets to keep his bear. So we got to take the pacifier off during certain situations. Say we'd give it to him at night on the bear, but during the day we'd take the pacifier off, and then when he needed it, we put it back on. And he slowly transitioned into knowing how to just use the bear for comfort rather than just the pacifier. It made it a lot less stressful for us and for him. Obviously, we were able to control how we used it. For instance, we were moving during the time we were weaning him. So he needed a little extra comfort in certain areas, so we could choose to give it to him and then take it away later. And it wouldn't be such a big deal. It wasn't like we were reintroducing something we had completely taken away.
Yeah, that's really smart, because I've heard stories about some children go to first grade with their pacifier. So the fact that this is removable, that's a really good feature.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, Ron, I mean, obviously you're the patent expert here. And, you know, when people like Jackie come to me, one of the first concerns, whether it really is a concern or not, is, hey, do I need to file a patent? I have a great idea. And, you know, I tell a lot of people a lot of different things. Of course, me not being the expert in the patent area, I always just say, you know, you got to get with Ron. Ron knows his stuff. But, you know, I tell people that it depends on what your goals are. Some people are very concerned about, again, having a patent and protecting the idea. But, I mean, what do you think about people that when they come to me and I tell them, listen, it's not so much about having a patent for something like a Binky Bear, but it's more important to not infringe on somebody else's idea, because let's say Jackie, now at this point, she's ready to go to retail, we're ready to take her to the Walmarts, the Targets, the Babies R Us's of the world. Well, what happens if she never really did a patent search, and all of a sudden we sell to Target or somebody and we get a cease and desist letter? And I think in your world, that's the biggest nightmare that you can experience.
Yeah, it's always important to do what we call a prior art search to find out what patents are out there and if those patents are still in force. You know, if something similar to the Binky Bear had been invented, say, in 1903, and well, that patent's long gone, okay? And it means that it's in the public domain. And if somebody has actually, you know, patented something exactly like what you got and their patent's still in force, then when you go out in the market, if they notice it and they decide that they're going to enforce their patent, that's when you either get the cease and desist or a letter saying you're going to have to pay us royalties because they own that property. So it's real important to know what is out there, and because once you know what's out there, then you can, you know, make some really good business decisions.
You know, I tell a lot of people too that when they are going to decide to file for a patent, because it's not cheap and you really have to do it right, and I always tell people, look, I'm certainly not an expert at patents, that's what you do, Ron, but let a professional handle it, because there's just too much to risk when you're building a business that you plan on being in for years to come. You know, filing a patent seems to make sense to me. I mean, I personally have never filed a patent, and people are always surprised by this. They say, wow, you've been in this business almost 20 years. You've been part of startup companies. You've owned companies. You've brought, you know, dozens of products to market. Why have you never filed for patents? And, well, first of all, when you're in your 20s, I think for me in my early 20s, I didn't even know really what a patent was. I just knew that I didn't want to, you know, bother somebody else's patent stuff, and, you know, I didn't know any of the terms at the time. I just was worried about, hey, I want to get something to market, be the first to market with that unique product, sell as many as I can, and then, hey, you know what? By the time that product goes through its cycle and people get bored, I've already made a second generation, a third generation, or I've built a whole product line. So I never felt the need, but, I mean, Jackie, look, you know that, you know, you want to be in business. You want to be Binky Bear, and you want to build a brand around that. So, I mean, what was your experience with patents and patent searches?
Well, obviously, the first thing is you want to, as an inventor, feel comfortable that you're not going to have it taken away from you. You do get nervous as you show your product to other people, and other people see it and go, well, that's simple. And you're thinking, well, yes, it is, and hide it behind your back. You know, you don't want to lose your opportunity to do what you want to do. So for me, I was more concerned about protecting myself. I have always been one of those persons to think about things and then see it on TV later and go, oh, I so thought of that first. And I didn't want to have that happen again, especially after I had started it. I did find the process complicated, and I did find it to be very useful to defer to the experts.
Yeah, we have a saying in the patent industry that there's only two kinds of inventors, paranoid and more paranoid. And they're always afraid somebody's going to steal their idea, especially if it's something simple. And that's what kind of evens the playing field, is if you do have a patent application filed or an issued patent, then that levels the playing field between you and the competitors, because just being able to say either patent pending or patented is going to keep most of the competitors at bay.
Well, it does, and it comes on the backs of people who have worked on it for many, many years. In fact, they just made a movie, Flash of Genius, that deals with this entire issue about patents and how this guy spent his entire life changing those laws so that we could be protected. So it's good to take up the benefits of those.
Yeah, and your intellectual property strategy has to complement and fit in with your business strategy, because as Jim was saying, if what you're going to do is you're going to be reinventing your invention every year and changing it and improving it, then you probably don't need patents. You just sit there and you sell it in one version, and then you sell the second version. You're always staying one step ahead of the competition. If that's your business strategy, then that kind of dictates, you know, what you're going to do with your patent strategy.
Right.
Well, I think the takeaway there is that obviously it's not something that everybody has to do. That not everybody has to file a patent, but I can tell you this, it's something that cannot be ignored. You have to look into it. You have to do a thorough patent search. I mean, that if you do anything, I tell people, if you do anything at all, get that done right. I mean, yeah, you can go to online to Google Patents or any of these other places, but, I mean, let's face it, if you're going to build a house, this is the foundation. If you don't do that right, I think it's scary.
True. And part of what you look at, Jim, is to decide how long is this your particular invention going to sell, because if it's going to sell for a year, then that would say, well, you don't really need a patent. But if it looks like it's going to sell for 20 years, then that's a different story. And also, if you're going to be building a brand, then that's when trademarks come in. Because, you know, when you start a business, one of the first things you should ask yourself is, you know, how you're going to exit the business. You know, how you're going to sell the business. And the more value you've got with your company, then the more money you're going to make when you actually, you know, have your exit strategy. Because if you've got a really good trademark, and I'm assuming Binky Bear.
We do. It's beautiful.
Okay. Is part of your trademark. Then, you know, a prospective buyer, you know, if it's one of those large toy companies that we won't mention, they're going to be looking at the fact that you've built this brand equity, you know, with your trademark. And then also that the actual, you know, shape and everything of your Binky Bear. I'm sitting here now looking at the Binky Bear bag here, and this is kind of interesting. Okay, and there's a little Binky. This is cute. This is super cute.
I love that reaction. It never gets old.
Yeah, it's pink, and it's got a nice little pacifier attached to it. You know, I've got twin boys, and I was really fortunate in that they never really got hooked on the pacifier. Because, you know, my fear was that they were going to go to first grade with pacifiers. And they had the pacifier for just a short time and never really got hooked on it. And they did have little bears similar to this. You know, one was called Puppy Dog. The other one was called Bernard.
We actually have a puppy dog at home.
Yeah.
It's a Binky Bear, but it's a puppy dog. So.
Okay. But, yeah, this is really, really neat.
Yeah. Well, we hope to come out with the puppy dog next, the Passipup.
The Passipup, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I love about what Jackie has done? I mean, this is what's great. I mean, having three kids, and they're all still small. I mean, I'm still living in this world of, you know, what could we do to, A, make our lives easier? And let's face it, a lot of parents, that's like a dirty little thing, that secret that people don't want to always share. But the reality is that everyone always comes out publicly and says, well, you know, I want everything for my kids to be better, and I want them to be happier. And you do. Of course you do. But at the same time, as a parent, when you have little kids, I mean, you need those moments where you can just get a break, and your baby's not crying, and your baby is comforted, so you can get some sleep, and you can kind of get through your day. And I think that's so critical. But what I love about Jackie, what you've done is you've not just said, okay, I'm just going to have a solution with, you know, a pacifier. I mean, you could have made a string with a pacifier on the baby's wrist or something, you know, big deal. But you took a bear, you made a cute bear, you really thought out all the little specifics and mechanics of how this works. And being a mom, you've kind of worked it out. And I think that's what I really love, that it's not just a bear with a pacifier. It's a whole solution, and the solution just keeps on giving. I mean, hey, when they're not using the pacifier, they've got this cute pink little bear. And then, hey, you've got this great pouch, which, hey, you could have put it in a cardboard box. But you know what? Who knows? What kids will put little toys in there. They'll carry it around. It's got your logo on it. Mom and dad are going to see it. And probably when they go away, you know, you go on these family trips, you carry that little bag with you. I mean, my kids carry these little tiny bags all the time. And, you know, that's such an important little piece of the branding aspect of what you've done versus what a lot of people have not done in this business. And that's why, you know, we're so excited to be working with you, because you're taking care of all the details. And in this business of innovation and consumer products, what's the old saying, Ron? You know, retail is detail, right? So it's all about all the little pieces that make people feel comfortable and warm and fuzzy, pardon the pun with a bear there, but about buying your products. I mean, that's what people are going to relate to. When I see that Binky Bear logo and I see the cute whole makeup of it, that's what's going to make me want to buy it, and it's going to make me feel good and make my kids feel good, and that's huge.
Well, I think you have to be responsible on several different levels. You don't just come out with a product and not think about the rest. You do need to think about the entire solution and what you're going to do and how are you going to wean the pacifier and how are you going to market it responsibly so that, you know, maybe the child has something to do with the little backpack on his back. And, you know, we all have our kids tugging our purses or our bags or our computer bags around and saying bye-bye, you know, and playing mom and dad, you know. So this is a way they can do that. But I think one of the things we were trying to be very responsible about when we chose the backpack is to choose materials that were green. And I think that that's an important thing as we come into to this new world where we're trying to be more responsible in business, is to make small decisions. I mean, we're a small company. We can't do these massive things. We can't change into wind energy, but we can make a choice that saves forests. We can make a choice on the smaller levels. We use 100% cotton. We use 100% PP cotton on the filler. It's recycled. The pacifier is made of plastic that is eco-responsible. It's BPH-free. It's got a plastic cover, but it's made of the same type of plastic that's eco-friendly. So all around, we've made little decisions to not only be responsible to the consumer for the solution of the problem, but we've also been responsible on the background side as well.
Well, I can tell you this. When retail buyers talk to me about products, I mean, look, there's a lot of people that are pretending to be green, or they'll just have one little aspect of their product that's green. And I mean, that actually, you know, bothers me, because if you're going to approach me with a product and you're going to say it's green and you're marketing it as green, it better be green. I mean, you better prove it, show it, be dedicated to it. And like you said, Jackie, look, are you going to change the world with Binky Bear? Maybe not. But you know what? If everybody did what you're doing, the world can change. I mean, I think it's just that dedication,
right,
to not only the product but being responsible. You know, is another reason why we know that this bear is gonna have a good shot at being very successful, because parents today are more in tune with greenness than ever.
Especially in the baby world. In the baby world, there is a lot of things that are not green. We waste a lot in the baby world trying to be convenient. And so it's important to come out responsible, because the green movement is going to be a grassroots movement for sure.
And I see, you know, the cotton is a really good thing, because cotton feels so good.
It does.
It has such a good feel to it. I see that this particular bear is pink. Does the Binky Bear come in colors?
Hopefully. We're coming out with brown to begin with, just your basic brown. It's a very cute brown. It can go for boy and girl. Next after that, we're going to come out with the pink that you see in front of you now and a blue color. So we'll be able to offer different colors in the future. That'll be good.
Yeah, because my youngest twin also has twins, and one's a boy and one's a girl.
Oh.
So, having one that's pink and one that's blue would allow them to know which one's which.
Yeah, that'll be very helpful. Not that they won't trade anyways, but at least you have the options.
Well, I think, you know, what's cute is, I mean, when babies are born, they don't care what color things are. It's just the mom and dad that get so concerned, right? I mean, I can give my kid my boys pink all day long when they're 1 year old or something. They're not going to care, but you know, again, it's the whole process of going through what you've gone through, Jackie. I mean, it's amazing to me, because a lot of people contact me. A lot of people contact you, Ron, too. I mean, every day I get dozens of calls and emails, and people just, you know, they feel like they want to be dedicated to what they're doing, but they're really missing pieces of the puzzle. And that's the story, and that's what, you know, is great about what you're doing, again, is that you keep on track with, you know, you have a mission. You know you have a great product. You want it to be socially responsible. You're thinking about every aspect, from patents to trademarks to branding to your marketing, the look and feel, the packaging. You know, everything comes together. And I think what's going to happen as we get ready to launch Binky Bear on the world here is that already I've gotten great reactions to it. I mean, you know, I've talked to a lot of buyers, and people are excited to see it. They want to see something different, and I think that's going to be the edge that gives Binky Bear what it needs.
Yeah, what's really smart about this particular Binky Bear is that it does outlive the pacifier stage, because I know that with my twin boys, Drew and Eric, that they had puppy dog was one of the animals that they had, and Bernard was the other. And when they were in the second grade and we went hiking up to Mount Lecotte and the Smokies, Both puppy dog and Bernard were in the backpacks.
Going up there.
I mean, that was long after they, had the Binky, the pacifier.
Well, that's definitely the goal, to create something they can use for a long time. I still have my Mousy Who sitting in my in my room at home. My parents can attest to this. It's an ugly old thing now, but I had it and I carried it everywhere, you know. And all children, they have something that they just grab a hold of and it becomes their comfort. And it's necessary. It's a necessary tool. That's why when you study developmental psychology, you find out how important it is for children to have something that teaches them how to self-soothe. You know, and so I hope that Binky Bear can be that solution for a lot of people. So
yeah, well, I know that with Bernard, that one time Bernard disappeared.
Oh,
he was gone for about almost a month, and we went to the library. And when we came into the library, the librarian says, "Oh, there you are, you're back." And she brings out Bernard. Bernard had been left at the library.
Oh, goodness.
We thought that he was just history, and it just turned out that he was just doing a lot of reading in the library. But yeah, these animals, and you know, Bernard and puppy dog are still around. I mean, even though you know, my twins are both boys, they still have those animals. I think one of them is missing an eye.
Oh, okay. Of course. Well, and that's something important to talk about Binky Bear. Most parents are very concerned these days about choking hazards and safety hazards, and I think it's important to note that Binky Bear is an infant-safe bear, which means not only do we use safe materials that are machine washable, thank God, and there's no beading inside. You'll find a lot of teddy bears have beads inside. That's not safe for babies. If the fabric were to rip for some reason, then you have all these choking hazards in the crib. That's not good. Binky Bear is all cotton, no beads. There is no beading on the facial expression. There's only embroidery. So it's an infant safe bear. So all parents can be sure that that what they're putting in the crib with their baby is safe.
Well, you know what? It's more than just being responsible, and you've done that. But buyers will not even look at products that are safe, and you know, that's bad for the inventors and entrepreneurs that haven't addressed those issues. I mean, you have to do that stuff today. I mean, we all remember with all the lead stuff over the past year in China.
Absolutely.
With toys and everything. And let's face it, kids are gonna chew on this thing. They're gonna
they're
gonna carry it around. They're gonna do whatever with it. It's gonna, you just can't and don't want to worry about that as a parent. And you know, Jackie, I know you have a psychology degree, so I know how important that is. You know, from an educational standpoint, to think about how you can align your product with what people think. But you're also a mom, and you know, there's that mom and dad psychology that is so critical. And the fact that, okay, look, I've had people come to me that you know, they're not in touch with their product. You know, maybe they don't know anything about that product segment, or they're not living it. I've had, you know, people come to me that are, you know, in their teens, literally, and they want to invent products for baby boomers. And, okay, they see a problem, but they can't relate. And that does not come out in their product. They haven't thought of everything because they've not been in the position to live that life. But you're a mom. You see what goes on. And it's a lot of these things are born out of frustration and out of need. You're like, God, I got, somebody doesn't do something, I'm just going to go crazy. So you know what? And it's the people that act. That's the big thing, Ryan. You see this, right, all the time. People, everybody you talk to says, you know, I thought of that, or that was my idea, or, you know, I thought of this, but did you do anything about it? Did you take the steps? And I think that's the thing, that, you know, being brave, taking those chances, but knowing what you're doing, obviously, is critical.
Yeah, because we've talked with inventors that would say that they came up with an idea, they told their friends about it, their friends would say, what a wonderful idea that is. And they did nothing with it, and then 10 years later, they see it on the marketplace. And this particular inventor had invented wheels on garbage cans. You know, he's an elderly gentleman, and he told his friends, you know, we need to put wheels on garbage cans. That's when the garbage cans were made out of metal and all, you know, like that. And he never did anything with it because he was busy raising a family and running a tire store. And then 10 years later, well, guess what? There's the garbage cans with wheels, and he's just like, you know. And he invented several things that he didn't pull the trigger on.
Yeah, so you have to learn how to step out of your comfort zone. People live in their comfort zone, and they get frustrated, but they're scared because it's a complicated process. My background is not business. As you said, I have a psych degree, which has lent itself to many different areas, including research all the way to running a political campaign. Beyond that, I was a performer. I was music and dance. So this doesn't have anything to do with business, but I knew that my product was good. I knew that instinctually, that I had an idea that was worth something. And I think the first thing you have to do is step out of your comfort zone. If you have to go to Google and say, Google inventors, inventions, Google anybody you can, that's what you have to do.
Well, I think what's important is that, look, people come to me with all different backgrounds. I mean, you name it, I've gotten a call from them. And you can't teach, I don't think anyway, enthusiasm, or just you can't teach somebody how to have a personality. And half the battle is knowing that you can do it, you have the confidence, and you can make it happen. You can learn skills. You can learn things from Ron. You could learn things from me about sales and marketing of products. Those things can be taught, no question about it. But to be enthusiastic, to be a go-getter, to wake up every day and say, there's a problem. I know, you know, here I am at the starting line. Here's the finish line. Here's the solution. What do I have to do to get there? And, Jack, you've done it right. You know what your limitations are, and that's great. And you've sought out the proper advice. And, you know, it's a shame that a lot of people don't do that, because we see, I know Ron and I see this all the time, where people are blowing money, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. I've seen people lose everything. Their 401ks, they've, you know, taken out home equity loans on their houses. And they're going to factories, they're manufacturing, they bring it all in, they stuff it in their garage, and they say, what do you mean I have to do a patent search? You know, who's Walmart? What's Target? I mean, it's amazing how people will go out and they'll go shop for a flat screen TV, and they'll go out and buy it, you know, do all this research. But when it comes to spending their life savings or a lot of money on a business, and this is a business. I mean, bringing a product to market, it's not just cutesy fun and games. I mean, this is serious stuff. And, it just always amazes me how people don't take the time to learn the process, and the process is everything.
Yeah.
Because I think the most common thing that you hear from inventors is like, I've got an idea, and I just want to sell my idea to a company. And unfortunately, that just doesn't happen. Okay, companies buy products. They don't buy ideas, okay? And so you've got to actually do some work and get it to a certain stage to actually interest the company.
Right. And I think that's important, because I went through that stage. I went through that stage of thinking, I am too busy to market this, to promote this, to produce it on my own, but I think it's a good idea. How can I make money off the idea? But, you know, then you just have to come back to the say, you know what, I got to put the time into it necessary to get it to a point that if that is my option later on, I have that option, and I don't just let it go by the wayside and let somebody else think of it first.
Right, and then I always also tell people it takes years to be an overnight success. you don't have the idea and then wake up tomorrow and the money's rolling in.
Okay? True.
It takes a while to actually get the idea, you know, into something solid, and to get it to such a stage that it's actually got some value.
And that's where stepping out and asking for advice really helps, because when you run into people like Jim, who are so encouraging, even on Facebook, when he gets on Facebook and he writes little comments about, it's great to see people persisting, you know, that means a lot to me, because I'm that person he's speaking to that is going on this long trip that you're thinking, I have such a simple product, why is it taking so long to do this? And you just need that encouragement that, yes, this does take a long time, but it's worth it.
You know, it doesn't matter what the product is, the process is almost always the same. You still have to go through the steps from the patent search to commercialization. It could be a Binky Bear, it could be a you know, an electronic item with, you know, 50 moving parts. It doesn't matter. And, you know, Jackie, that's it. I mean, it's being enthusiastic, and I know I love being around that kind of attitude. I don't like defeatist attitudes or when people are just so negative or down. I mean, look, it's you're not going to wake up every day and everything's going to go right. And as you've learned, the manufacturing part of the process is always, almost always, the biggest slowdown. I mean, to get your product right the way you know it needs to be, dealing with factories overseas, it's not always easy. It's not just, okay, you send them a CAD file or some drawings and a description, and then a week later you're getting a product back. I mean, it's a battle to get every little detail, but you can't be afraid to tell those factories what you want. A lot of inventors come to me and they say, oh, it's good enough. And I think, who was it? Like Mrs. Fields, actually. I don't know why I know this, but they have this little saying. It's like, you know, good enough never is. And that's their whole mantra at Mrs. Fields, that when they bake those cookies, they can't just be good. They have to be really good, where people, like, dream about these cookies. So
yeah, I think it was Colonel Sanders that said that perfection is just barely good enough. But, yeah, it takes years to become an overnight success, and having a passion about your product and your business is very, very critical. It's very important to have that enthusiasm.
Right, and you just can't let progress stand in the way of perfection either. you have to accept progress for what it is and take each step and learn from it and then take the next step. There's nothing wrong with progress. And, of course, you know, as you were saying about the factories, it's great to look around and find people you fit with. Just from the personal side of it, stepping out of the business side, but to the personal side of it, it's great to find factories and to work with people that understand your idea, that you feel like you connect with, because that will make the process a little bit easier. When I found those people who I connected with, communicated well with, that's when I got my product exactly as I wanted it.
Right. And I tell people whenever you start a new venture, and obviously this is a new venture for you, it's very similar to planting English ivy. The first year that you plant English ivy, it's sleeping. The second year that of English ivy being planted, then it's creeping. And then the third year, it's leaping. And almost every new venture goes through those stages. It might not be in year increments, but you're going to go through the stages of no traction, but you're putting down the roots, you know, you're getting interest in the marketplace, and then, you know, you start having some sales, and then all of a sudden it just goes exponential.
So what you're saying is next year is going to be really great for me.
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so funny. You got, you know, you talk about English ivy. I mean, I grew up in New York and on Long Island, and you see that ivy on houses, and like you said, all of a sudden it's there. You go back, go down that particular street, and that stuff is covering the house. I mean, sometimes people are, like, fighting to get their windows open, but it is true. It does tend to work like that. It worked like that for me, where it was a battle all the time to get things going. I got a lot of rejection, a lot of no's from retail buyers. I didn't give up. I knew what I had was good, and I knew it was just a matter of time. I got to stay in their face, but still be respectful of the process and knowing that, hey, look, if there's thousands of people in the toy business calling on that this one particular buyer, it's, hey, get in line. I mean, but if you stay with it and they know you're there and you're committed, that's the big thing, and it'll get done. It does happen, and it happens for the people that handle it right.
Yeah, and the key thing is what I've seen with inventor after inventor after inventor that have succeeded with their invention is they came to this point where they were ready to quit. They said, you know, I've given it my best shot. This is just not working. And then the very next day, the call would come in that changed everything.
Right. You're always looking for that big break, no matter what you're doing. You're always looking for that one contact that's going to change your world and turn you into kudzu, you know.
And, you know, the branding, too. That's the other factor. You know, Jay Johnson, who's sitting here in the corner, wonderfully observing. He's with us today, though. But, you know, what Jay does is another part of the business that I always feel is just so critical. I mean, again, I've seen a lot of wonderful products over the years, but the marketing, the name, the look, the logo, it was absolutely terrible. And you know what? That's what people buy. I mean, think of all the brands you buy today. A lot of people just buy on brand. I mean, they don't even know anything about the companies. They don't know about the people that work there. But when you see Nike sneakers, you just feel comfortable. There's just something familiar about it. And I know as a mom and dad, familiarity and comfort with baby, especially with baby things. You know, like when you wear like the little Carter's onesies or something. I mean, you just see the brand, you buy it. It could be more money. You're still going to get it because you trust it, you know it, and you know those people are committed to quality.
Yeah, and the name of this bear is really good, okay, because it's a B and a B. People know what a binky is. They know what a bear is. Binky bear. It rolls off the tongue. I mean, I think that's something that's very memorable that's really going to stick with the public.
Well, thank you very much. And I think it's important to note that, I mean, just to go simple, you know, simple but rememberable, you know. Rememberable? I don't even know if that's a word. Memorable.
It now is.
It is now. I've coined it. Maybe I should trademark it.
But, I mean, the look. I mean, you know, what I love about the logo, too, is that a lot of people that come to us with baby products, they try to be too cutesy. Like, they try to, like, the whole name is gets lost in art, you know. And I'm like, okay, people can't even read what this is, or they try to just be too fancy, or they overthink it. I mean, it's simple. And, you know, the way your logo was designed is just, it's just right. It looks like it's an expensive, nice product, but yet it still has a you know, a youthful, fun feel to it. And that's, you know, again, that's the magic of putting everything together and really thinking it through. But that's another aspect of this business that people overlook is, you know, the packaging, the branding, yeah, the overall feel. What's going to make me pick this up when I'm in a store? What's going to make you stand out? And that's what buyers want to know. You know, why is this bear different? Okay, well, it's a bear with a pacifier. Well, we're not, it's not just a bear with a pacifier. It's a solution. There's benefits. We've got a look. We've got a feel. And we want to project that feel to parents so that whenever they think about this type of product, they're going to think Binky Bear.
Right, and it's all about name ID, and there's a psychology behind that. You know, when you take name ID, you want people to recognize it, and you want your product to look like they should have known it their whole lives. When they look at my bear's name, and they look at the name Binky Bear, it should be recognizable to them, even if they haven't even heard it before. You want it to look good, and you want the name to be something that feels old school. You know, it's all about name ID, and in any kind of marketing, from political to business, anything, it's about name ID.
Well, Jackie, I think it's safe to say that, like you said, you've been doing this for quite a while. You are living the dream, and hopefully that, you know, that dream really turns into everything you want it to be. And certainly, you know, I know you're not going to stop. I know you're going to keep going, and you're going to keep doing everything until you get it right. And for me, that's exciting. I think that's what I love to see. It's very infectious to work with people that want to make this happen. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, all the ingredients are there for success. So, you know, we want to keep pushing that along.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the encouragement that I've received. So,
well, Jackie, look, I mean, we want people to know a lot more about you and your story. Where can people buy the bear, get information about the bear, and learn about Jackie Raimondi?
Well, you can go to www.binkybear.com, and that's BINKIBEAR.com. You can go, you'll see our story about us, and you can buy the bear there. So you can go, you can pay by credit card, or you can use a PayPal account, make it easy for you. Any information you need is there, but if you have other questions, you can always email binkybear@binkybear.com, and we're good about responding to our emails and speaking with our customers. We've heard stories all over about moms emailing and saying, I just found this today because I just had to throw out another pacifier, or I just thought about the fact there needs to be one. So moms are searching for this. So it's really good to see that, and we love to interact with our customers and with other parents out there and see what their stories are as well.
And customer service is key. We know how critical that is, and Jackie, that being responsive is awesome. All right, well, that wraps it up for today. I'm Jim DeBetta here with my co-host and partner in crime, Ron Reardon. Ron?
Yeah, you can find out more about Ron Reardon at patentsandmore.com.
And, of course, you can find any information about me and my company at jimdebetta.com, D-E-B-E-T-T-A. That's it.
Great. Well, thanks for having me here.
It's our pleasure.
It's been super.